In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You'll have to forgive me today because I'm so medicated up that my head is a complete cloud. Of course, probably most of you won't notice a thing. But this is an important Sunday because of the gospel that's read today. But we'll start off with something easy. A number of years back, about 6 years ago, my dear friend, the late departed Father Jacob Myers, and I were able to attend the consecration of St. Mary's Romanian Orthodox Church in Decula. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever attended a church consecration, but it's a wonderful, a beautiful thing. It's almost like the church building itself is being received into the church, because all sorts of things that are done there really are in absolute accord with what happens in the baptismal service. The altar, for instance, is washed down with soap and water, and then as if it's being baptized. And then after that, it's anointed with chrism. Chrism is spread all over the top of it. And then chrism is taken with these long brushes and anointed the four walls of the church inside and outside. And so it's like a chrismation. And then after that, you take a clean cloth, as if you're putting the stikarion after baptism on someone, and you drape the altar with that, and then you put the altar cloths over the top of that. And so there's a lot of similarities there. And I remember Father Jacob, when we were there, usually if we would go to similar things, consecrations or events or something like that, inevitably on the way home he would call me up on the phone. And we were talking, and he said, this is very strange. After seeing that wonderful consecration and inspired and feeling like this is what we should be doing, it should just spur us on to a greater and holier life by seeing this thing, I'm driving down the road and I'm looking up at a sign. It's an advertisement for Porsche. And he said it was the strangest thing because it said, low to the ground, yet close to heaven. And he said, if that's all that I knew that we had to do, that would be wonderful. I would just run out and buy this Porsche, and that would be that. And that would be all there would be to it, low to the ground, yet close to heaven. But at the same time, I told him, you should take this to heart, because this was actually a message from God to you through Porsche. Because what it's saying is that the same thing that St. Silouan of Mount Athos always said, which was, keep thy mind in hell, i.e. low to the ground, but don't despair. In other words, raise yourself up by keeping in mind the fact that you are the lowest of the lowest, that you are the greatest among sinners, but never, ever doubt the grace of God. And yet in this gospel today, it's like we are taken one step even further from that. Because this is the golden rule gospel that the Lord gives us. He says, whatsoever you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. And then he goes on and he utters something that's even more difficult for us to accept, probably. Definitely it was more difficult for the disciples to accept because they were living in the age of Jewish reciprocity. After all, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, right? Everyone remembers that. But the Lord comes up with something quite different. And he says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Now, how many of us today have what we would call enemies? I mean, true enemies. I know, for instance, that Father Paniotis, the priest at Holy Transfiguration, he had some true enemies, because when he was growing up in Cyprus and the Turks came and burned down his home and ejected half of that population from one side of the island to the other, that was seen as a true enemy. And yet now he doesn't see them as that, even though when he goes back to Cyprus, if a Muslim sees a priest, they start harassing them and making fun of them and calling them names. And Father Paniotis says, it just goes right over me now. I can see what the Lord was talking about in terms of loving your enemies. Most of us don't have enemies like that, though. Most of us have perhaps adversaries, perhaps, in circumstances when we're at work or wherever it happens to be, or in different relationships, and someone says something about us that we don't particularly like, or someone is talking behind our backs because they want to see us fail in our jobs, or perhaps because someone is criticizing us because they think we're making the sign of the cross the wrong way in church. It's not proper enough, perhaps, for someone, and you happen to hear about it, or you happen to hear that someone's criticizing your children, or something like this. It could be any number of things. And yet, even in those type of circumstances, it becomes difficult for us to perhaps really want to love them. We don't want to love. We want to strike back. We want to defend ourselves, don't we? How dare that person say something about me? Of course, we may know inside that it's all true, but how dare they point it out? That's not the right thing to do. Loving your enemies is perhaps the most difficult thing that the Lord ever asked us to do. But you know, at least one desert father said that this is the entire gospel, that you have no right to even begin to call yourself a Christian if you cannot love your enemies. That's the bottom line. If you love your enemies, you're a Christian. If you don't, you simply are not. You're nowhere even close. That strikes to the heart of things, doesn't it? It makes it a little more challenging for us to look inside to see how truly we really love. Because, you know, the Lord pointed it out today in the gospel. What's the big deal if you're loving someone back who loves you? Or you're doing good things to someone who's doing good to you? Or if somehow someone has lent you money? What is the big deal? Because they're your friends, you would expect no less. That does not go into the plus column in the minds of the Lord. He doesn't think anything about that, because sinners all do the same. But as Christians, we're supposed to be different than that. We're supposed to act differently than that. And yet, what can we do? All you have to do is pay a little bit of attention to the news recently to see the unbelievable way that human beings in this country are talking to one another and about one another. And we think, my goodness, how could we ever love people like that? With this sort of poison being pumped into our souls every single day, how can we love? Well, a lot of the times we're projecting. We're projecting that things are actually a lot worse than they are in terms of our own circumstances. You know, Mark Twain once said, many terrible things have happened to me in my life, and most of them never really happened at all. Because we believe at the time that it's something terrible. We're making things up in our mind that what we're hearing or seeing or doing, that it's much worse than it actually is. And so we live with a present day fear instead of letting the actual troubles for the day suffice for the day. We project what is happening in our own minds into the future. And that doesn't feed our souls very well, does it? It doesn't help us out one bit. You know, neuroscientists have found that people that are spending more time in prayer and in meditation and in good thoughts and thinking about good things, that actually filters down even into their very genes, if you can believe such a thing. There was once a thing called GIGO. I don't know if any of you computer nerds in here remember any of this years ago. GIGO was an old thing that meant garbage in, garbage out, which meant that if you put bad data into a computer and it was unscrubbed and it was unorganized and you fed it in there, you were going to get garbage coming right back out. But yet if it was nice and scrubbed and neat and thought about, you could get some results that actually meant something to you. Well, it's the same thing in our lives. Too often we spend so much time putting garbage in, what can we expect but garbage coming out? And somehow if we aren't exploring the very idea of what love is, and that true love means loving our neighbors as ourselves, and keeping the Lord God first and foremost in our minds, but also means that we must love those who hate us and despise us. What does the priest say at the great entrance? Forgive, O brethren, those that love us and those that hate us. That's the important thing. That's the mark of the true Christian. That's how we know that we are on the right path, when we could truly say that we love someone who has done something against us, who is not happy with us, who has treated us badly, who has done something to us in the past that we can't let go of. We are not showing love for enemies in that case. And it becomes very clear in today's gospel. We have to focus on these things. Our lives zip by. They go by in a flash. We're so busy. So many things are happening. The end of the day comes and you think, gee, it seems like I just woke up. And here the end of the day is. And those days mount into weeks and months and years. And then zip. Life is gone. And you look back on it and you say, have I learned to love? Have I learned to really, really, truly love my enemies? And we might think that it's impossible. And of course, for men, perhaps it is. But in the love of Christ, all things are possible. Because when we love our enemies, when we love our neighbors as ourselves, we're not loving from the pure natural love that comes as if we are loving ourselves, which is a natural gift. We are loving with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's how we do it. That's what He wants us to do. That's what He is begging us to do. That's why that desert father says, no, if you want to be a real Christian, you have to learn to love your enemies. And that's a very difficult thing to do. But again, as so many other things in the gospel, it's not optional, my dear brothers and sisters. It's not optional. This is something that absolutely has to be done. And we could start by prayer, going to services, almsgiving, fasting, reading at home, spiritual reading at home, all these things which fill our soul with good things, and even the good things that the earth provides, that the world provides, that St. Porphyrius, the recently glorified saint in Greece, was so ecstatic about when he said, do these things, read these good books, go to these good movies, dwell on things that are positive in your life, and you will feed your soul, and you will learn how to love everyone, no one excluded. That's what we have to do. And I want to close simply with a passage that has always been one of my favorites, and I try and think about it each and every day. And it's what St. Paul said to the Philippians. And of course, everyone knows about how wonderful St. Paul is as a man, as a saint, the things that he said. But I find that if I think about these things every day, it helps clear the muck. It helps me to understand the things that I should be doing in my life. And you all know this passage. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. May it be so for all of us. Amen.